Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com. This podcast is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I want to thank them very much for their sponsorship. You can find more episodes of this podcast at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Today is a little bit of a different format. Today is a little bit of a deep dive into a subject that I guarantee you are not spending enough time on in your farm business. Today we're going to deep dive into human resources. And we're going to do a little bit different. Usually we just have one guest for our podcast, but today we're actually going to talk to four farmers from across the country. We've got a farmer in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and two from Ontario. And actually, we've got a mix. Half are livestock and half are cash croppers. So we've got a tremendous amount of diversity, and I didn't even get into the size of their operations. But they all have the similar challenges, but also opportunities to improve. And we're going to learn here together. We're going to cover four topics. We're going to talk about, do you have an HR plan? How do you acquire talent? How do you retain those top performers? And what does your performance evaluation actually look like? So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Hang in there. This is a podcast full of information. I think you're going to really, really learn along here with our four farmers. So let's get started. Let's meet our farmers. First of all, from Ontario, Daryl Hanstra.
Yeah, so we're a farming custom farm operation in Smithville, Ontario. We farm about 1,000 acres, but we do a lot of custom farming, and we have a grain elevator, a Pioneer seed dealership. No livestock, just crops. So we grow corn, soybeans, wheat, and we also do some cover cropping with red clover. Yeah, we have four full-time employees and about another four or five guys that help us part-time in the busy planting and harvest seasons.
Our next farmer is a pig farmer from Listowel, Ontario, Stuart Skinner.
We've got a hog operation based in southwestern Ontario. We do both commercial and niche market hog production. We have about, between owned and contracted sows, about 1,200 sows, and that's all farrow to finish.
Okay. Now we're going to head over to Western Canada in Saskatchewan, Jared Gust.
I farm in Davidson, Saskatchewan with my father and brother and our all of our wives and my mother, I guess, as well. We run about a 16,000 acre farm with a variety of dryland crops, a little bit of irrigation, and just a pretty typical family farming outfit. During the summer, there's just my brother, myself, and my father, and one full-time guy. We've got a local fellow, and then usually about anywhere between three and six Australians, depending on Australians or Kiwis, depending on what we can find.
And finally, from southern Alberta, Leighton Kolk.
So our main focus is cattle feeding. We have 3 yards that we manage under the same operation, and so we have the home lot, which is about 12,000 head finishing yard, then the Haney yard, which we lease from Haney's, which is about a 4,500 head backgrounding and finishing yard, and then a smaller backgrounding yard, Delta Feeders, that holds about 3,000 backgrounder cattle. That's our kind of our main focus of our operation, but we do have some dry land and a couple thousand acres of irrigated land, which we try to grow higher valued crops such as canola seed, specialty wheats, and corn for silage, and then rotate through with potatoes and a few other rotation type crops.
Okay, now we've met our farmers. It's time to dig a little bit deeper into what they're doing on their farm in terms of human resources. And we're going to start right off the top. You know, if you got farmers across the country, to be honest with us, they would probably tell you there's a lot of people shooting from the hip on human resources. And you know what? That's okay. Because a big part of this is about transparency and honesty and all of us trying to get better. So what I thought I would do is I would ask our farmers, do you have a written human resources plan? And if so, what does it look like? And how is your whole human resources plan structured? Remember, we've got farms here with all different shapes and sizes, so we're going to hear a whole bunch of different answers. Let's get to it. We'll start off with Daryl Hanstra. We'll hear from Stuart Skinner and then Leighton Kolk.
Yeah, so we do have an HR plan. We have a binder with a bunch of policies in it, harassment policies, safety policies. We work through safety training, so we do a bunch of stuff all in-house, spend a day or so every year working through our policy, reviewing our policies, and then we also spend another day actually out in the yard going through each piece of equipment that we have here. And as a group, we discuss the operations of each machine and hazards or potential issues that we could have with any equipment. It's a good interactive activity, actually. It gets everyone's input into it. And it just makes us all consciously aware of each machine and its function and the safety precautions that we need to have with each machine.
So it sounds like safety plays a major role in your HR plan.
Yes, it does. Yep. At the end of the day, we want everyone to come home, right? So.
Yeah. So the thoroughness of some of your training in regards to mm-hmm. how to operate and some of the safety requirements that go with that, that's not something that happens on every farm across Canada, and everyone's striving to be better at this kind of thing. What's the reaction mm-hmm. from the employees when you go through this process?
It's been very positive. At the end of the day, it just creates kind of affirms for each one of them what we're trying to do, and also just the discussion around it. What happens is it gives the opportunity for each employee to even to voice their concerns at times with different machines, to say, hey, I'm concerned about this, or I'm concerned about that, or I love this task, but I'm always concerned about this. So we can kind of talk about it and just to kind of become more consciously aware of the hazards of each machine. And I think at the end of the day, it makes everyone more comfortable and safe operating machines.
Well, we never used to have anything formal because we had been a relatively stable size for a long time and had the same two employees that had been working for us for quite a while. In the past year and a half, we've done some fairly rapid growth, and we've kind of been in the middle of trying to update and formalize how we handle HR. We've still got a lot of a way to go. As for a specific HR plan, we don't have anything like that at this point.
We start every year with strong intentions of strengthening the plan, but life gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
So we do have areas that we have roles and responsibilities. So, for instance, my oldest son is crops and equipment is his main focus. We have a foreman at each yard, and they have their focus is cattle and cattle care. Then we have an office person that's in charge of the logistics in the office. I tend to do some of the overall human resource stuff, where if we need a new hire or replace an employee, I will do that in conjunction with the person that's in charge of their area. So we will kind of do a tag team approach to interviewing and a follow-up, resume checking and that sort of thing.
So you can tell by just asking that simple question, do you have an HR plan, really creates a huge diversity of answers. So what we heard, you need to have something on paper. It's about training. Safety's a part of it. You know, it's okay to admit I've got a long ways to go. This maybe isn't our strongest area. We need to do better. That's okay. I think that's really, really cool. We start off the year with the best of intentions. I love it. So a lot of places here for us to improve and get a lot better in terms of having an HR plan. One of the things that kind of, you know, we talked to Leighton Kolk there, he has multiple sites. So you're going to hear words much more like delegation and responsibility and things like that. So really, really a good start here to kind of breaking down this whole HR component of farming operations across Canada. So now that we've figured out we need to have an HR plan, how do we attract employees to our operation? What techniques are our farmers using? Is it traditional methods? Is it maybe new digital methods? What are some of the things that they're doing to make sure that they have the rock stars of the future working on their farms? We're going to hear from Jared Gus, Daryl Hanstra, Leighton Kolk, and Stuart Skinner. Let's start with Jared. So Jared, on your farm, how are you recruiting employees to work on your farm in Saskatchewan?
I guess we're entirely word of mouth. We try to treat people the way we want to be treated, give them responsibilities and work that they're capable of doing, try to stretch their limits and train them. And really just do the best with what we have. We don't pay any recruiters. We don't do anything other than I'll send a message to the guys that have been here previous and say, hey, what have you got? Have you got any friends? Have you got any cousins, neighbors? And we've had really good luck with that. We get somebody that somebody will put their own name behind.
So most of our employees have come to us. One of my personal goals is to create a fun and a safe work environment. And I think by taking care of your employees, which they are the business, it's not, even though I'm the owner, it's the employees that make the business. So giving them ownership and pride in their work, and it tends to bring other people in just because of their experience.
So is a lot of the people that are coming to work at your operation, it's really about, it's a word of mouth, so to speak?
Yep. Okay. We have advertised for some positions, but everyone else has come through the door through word of mouth.
So I guess one of the things is when you do have a new applicant that comes in and they want to work at your operation because they've heard some really good things about it, mm-hmm. Do you interview the applicants?
Yes, we do sit down and do an interview or multiple interviews. The other thing that we've started doing is doing some personality profiling. So they all have to fill out like a DISC profile. And then based on that, we kind of try to understand how they think and how they operate. And what we're trying to do is also create an array of personalities in this workplace so that there's some people that are drivers. We need analytics. We need influencers. And trying to create a good balance of employees that complement each other so that, yeah, this business can thrive.
You know, Sean, key to attracting a good employee is starting off with a very clear expectation. So right from the job ad or the, you know, we use an employment service. We use Tony at Ag Employment. So he spends some time together with I always have a list of about 20 questions. We'll only use 3 or 4 of them, but they're questions that you cannot answer yes or no to. They have to explain either what went wrong, what is one instance that went wrong in your past employment, or tell me about 2 things that you loved about the last place you worked. What is one thing you would avoid at all costs in your next job? tell me about a couple of your hobbies, that just things where they cannot say, did you work well with others? Yes. Did you ever get in a fight? No. Because those don't help anybody, but it's when they have to speak, and if they cannot articulate something that they loved or they're passionate about or disliked, they're probably not telling you everything.
Yeah.
So it's back to digging deep and asking those questions that are not yes and no questions. That's really key. And I'd keep in mind, Sean, if someone's getting hired to run the grain cart for 6 weeks, we may not get too in-depth, you know, because you only have so much time. But if this is a key person, and cattle health care is key people for us, crop equipment operators, they're key, you know, so you kind of balance how much time you're going to spend on the whole process versus how long a term the job is. If it's a full-time long-term, you spend the time up front because it's way easier to do it right before you hire than deal with grievances and dismissals and just aggravation because you didn't spend the time up front.
Yeah.
We've tried everything from the traditional newspaper route, the more informal kind of just get the word out there. Each time that we've brought in somebody that has lasted, it's been through a personal relationship where either someone we knew and trusted knew of somebody or knew and trusted needed a job. So that's been how we've done it. We are actually, we've started the process of looking at the temporary foreign worker program, and I have a feeling if we were to conduct this same interview in a couple months, we will likely, or in 6 months to a year, we will likely have at least one or two temporary foreign workers, because that's where we're looking at probably is where we're going to need to go for stability on the labor front.
So we just heard Stuart Skinner talk about how they may be accessing the temporary foreign worker program in the near future to try to attract more employees to their hog operation in Ontario. Well, back in Saskatchewan, Jared Gus, he kind of alluded to how they use word of mouth to attract employees to their operation. But it's not just locals. They're actually attracting New Zealand and Australian farm kids to work in their operation in Saskatchewan. So how long have they been doing that, and what really makes that program successful for them?
We're probably going on 25 years now, I guess, and that's in this latest incarnation. And there was maybe 35 years ago, there was a couple fellows came for a few years that worked with Dad when he was a little younger.
Okay, and you obviously stuck with it. So what's from your standpoint, what's been the advantage of having people come over from Australia and New Zealand to work on your farm?
I guess the contra season is probably the biggest advantage, the zero language barrier and the familiarity with machinery. It seems to be the most ideal situation for us. I've got friends that use people from South Africa and Germany and Mexican Mennonites and Canadians, and I don't know. This works really well for us for a seasonal workforce.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break in the action here halfway through, and we're going to get a word from our sponsor.
This episode of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. While there is no way to eliminate all business risks you'll face, creating a sound risk management strategy will help mitigate some of the more common ones and give your business a leg up. The agriculture banking specialists at RBC Royal Bank can help set your farm up for success. Visit rbc.com/agriculture to find an ag specialist near you.
So once we find those employees that are really key, those employees that we know are an important part of our operation, I wanted to ask all the farmers here on the panel, how do you retain them? How do you make sure that you keep the best of the best inside your operation? Everybody's not going to stay. That's not the kind of time that we live in right now. But how do you try to do your best to retain a core group of people that can add to your operation on a year after year basis? Because remember that every time you add a new person to your operation, there's things like training and there's things like education around the operation, the equipment that come into play. And that's a cost and that's your time. So how do you make sure you keep the best employees so that you can do the best job inside of your farm operation? And we'll start off talking to Daryl Hanstra, then we'll hear from Stuart Skinner, and then Leighton Kolk. So what you're going to hear here is actually here's where all of our operators have a very, very similar line of thinking. Daryl, you're first up.
Yeah, I did actually ask my employees that question, like, you know, what keeps them here? And I think at the end of the day, it's the work environment. Give them ownership in the work. It's not we make decisions together. And if there are certain items that they want addressed or they want to try or experiment with, that's fine. They're totally open to that. And I think they're part of every decision process. So in a way, each employee has skin in the game. And when a decision's made, they're part of that decision, and they might not always agree with it, but the fact that they had an opportunity to contribute to the decision, at the end of the day, they tend to own the decision too. So they definitely feel a part of the operation.
The couple that have worked for us for a long time, they've been offered more money to go other places, and they've stayed. One thing that we work really hard at, because all of our employees are parents with young kids, we try to be very flexible in terms of, you know, if they've got a sick child, we figure out a way to do their work for them, and let them stay home, or if they've got a, you know, the one guy likes to be home every day to get his daughters off the bus, so we structure the day so that he can be home to get his daughters off the bus. So we try to be as flexible as possible. And I think that really helps us. To be honest though, Sean, I think the best thing that I do for employee retention, and sometimes I forget my own rule, but as I regularly buy coffee, it seems like a small thing, but I honestly think that a cup of coffee every couple of weeks and a half hour chat, seeing how people are feeling, is probably worth more than a 50 cent raise. At least in my experience.
You know, that's an interesting, that walk around experience is so valuable. I've read that in even the largest manufacturing sort of examples, you know, managers walking the floor and talking to employees. Just that simple, having a quick little chat can be very effective to build that sense of team.
Yeah. And I find that too, even with our contract growers as well. If I'm not out at a barn, like if I haven't been out for, say, a month and a half or 2 months, you start to notice that, relationships can change. And that's been a challenge managing my own personal capacity, because when you get there's a lot of relationships to manage and there's still a business to run. So being out there and talking with people, and it also shows them that you care about what's going on in your own operation. And I think that helps a lot. Like just today is another good example. My wife shipped market hogs with an employee and ended up having a coffee with her afterwards and just having a conversation. And I think that goes a long way to making people feel valued.
It does often start before they get here we try and spend some time on social media stuff, just getting little glimpses. If they pay attention, they can look at our website, look at our Facebook page, see my Twitter account, whatever, and just see things that are going on that matter to us. And if that's a culture that they like, they'll be attracted to it. And then the money generally is not the driving factor. If money's the only thing that's going to motivate you to come to work here, yes, we pay well. That's, you know, retention means I want to pay at the top end of my industry average, not at the bottom end. So that does help for retention. But if money is the only object, then for our culture, that's not something we kind of focus on. So retention is making the culture such that I have fun working here. We actually enjoy going to work because we're getting treated. So treating people like you'd like to be treated, treating people with dignity, respect, and responsibility. I just don't know anybody that doesn't want to have a little bit of responsibility. It empowers you. So you empower them by saying, I think you can do this. And we'll give you the tools, but you can do this. And when they succeed, that we all know that feeling of when we scored a goal or shot the winning shot or won the race and came in first, second, or third. We all know that feeling. And that same feeling needs to happen at work where I won and I got recognition for winning. Recognition is pretty key, probably more important than money.
So out of all of this conversation, what I thought would be super cool is to actually get a little bit of a deeper read on money. So we heard in the retaining piece, all of our farmers mentioned, yeah, it's not about the money. It's not, you know, but a lot of this sometimes does, we say that, but sometimes it does come down to the money. So we set up a structure, an environment where people can have fun, they know what the expectations are, and they can succeed inside of that framework. But a part of this does have to do with money. So how do you decide in your farm operation how to make sure that you are fairly compensating your employees? Let's take a little bit of a deeper look.
For our paid employees, we've worked at a couple things. So I've always been leery because of the cyclical nature of hogs to get really, really high base salaries. So what we've tried to do is keep a competitive base salary, but then when we've had good financial times, we've shared that with our employees through bonuses. And then the other part that we've done is traditionally we never offered any benefits, and in the last year and a half, we've brought in a healthcare spending account for our long-term employees. That we extend out when people have worked with us and have proven that they're going to be sticking around, if you will.
Yeah, and what's been the response from the employees when you offer that sort of a health spending account program?
Kind of variable. Now, we only have the three full-time employees that would be on that, and I would say it goes from very like used right to its maximum to not used. We've done it because of and we chose a healthcare spending account just because it was a little more user-friendly for both us and our employees on a small scale. If we employed maybe 10 or 15 or 20 people, we would look at more of a traditional benefits package through a provider. But for our small number of employees, it seems to be working. And as I said, variance in how it's used, but the two employees that do use it like it very much. It's very user friendly for them, so they quite enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess with these young travelers, it's more of an experience for them. We do pay them, I think, reasonably well for our area. They're probably right in line with whatever we could get with a Canadian kid. Plus, we provide meals and cars and accommodation, give them a lot of time off in the summer so that when they do come to Canada in the best months of the year, they get to see some of it. And it's not just work them as hard as they can until they fall over.
Are you suggesting that winter is not the best time to visit Canada?
Winter is not the best time to come to Davidson, Saskatchewan. No.
So far, we've talked about attracting employees, retaining employees, a little bit about compensation, but there's another piece of all this feedback loop that we have not covered yet, and that is performance evaluation. I know you work hard. Probably your employees work really hard too. But how do we make sure that we're actually doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we make sure that our employees understand how we feel about the work that they're doing? Are they performing well? Are there areas of improvement? Let's take a closer look. We're going to talk to Jared Gust, Daryl Hanstra, and Leighton Kolk in this piece. We'll start with Jared Gust. Jared, how do you handle performance evaluation on your farm?
Yeah, we sort of do an exit interview and try to figure out, okay, where could we do better? What can we do a little bit different? Usually it's chains of command is sort of a consistent thing, which is similar in a lot of family farms. Who's the boss? Who do I listen to? If somebody gives me conflicting instructions, where do I go to? And we always have to realize as family members too that this person might be getting conflicting information, and not to lose your mind on somebody when they're not doing exactly what you said.
Now, there's some family members that are involved in the organization as well. So do you yourselves go under performance evaluations, maybe some 360-degree reviews, or how do you manage that?
We don't. We've got a really good relationship with each other, and we always have a tailgate chat every day and figure out what's going on. It's probably not a bad idea to look at ourselves. But I imagine those are difficult conversations as well. I've never really thought about it.
Yes, yep. We actually just started doing that. What we've done this past year is we basically have answered a few questions. You know, what's good about your job, what's difficult, and what we can do differently. And then we also went over some 2-year, 5-year, and 10-year plans and goals for each employee. And then also talked about further education. So it may not be something that's work-related, but maybe they have a personal interest in something that we'll try to see if we can find like a winter course where they can do night school and develop another skill that they have interest in. When it comes to personal performance at work, we have some targets for some employees around the amount and quality of work that they do. But that is definitely, I would say, something that kind of struggle with to really nail down a formula to reward employees for performance.
I'd have to admit that may be a weak area in our operation, but maybe not. An official performance evaluation, if it happens once a year with our key people, that it's, you would consider it official, that would be all. But I would say that quarterly, we have some opportunity to have a very brief visit, and it might be a visit over the loading chute, or the cattle squeeze, or fueling up a tractor. But we will have the visit where it's as much, is everything working for you? Is everything working for me? And it won't have documented notes, but from those, you know, we've got we know we may have a problem brewing. We need to get more official. Our things are going well.
Some really, really, really good pieces there. And I love the fact it's about, you know, asking simple questions. It's about lines of communication. I think that it's just such simple, great advice there from our farmer panelists. Now, HR is not easy. Anybody that says it is or pretends it is, they're really, I think, not being very honest. And I think our farmers have been tremendously honest here today, what's worked well for them, where there are gaps, and where they even admit they have to improve. And I want to thank them for that. A lot of you, though, it comes down to your excuse is probably time. I don't have time for human resources. I don't have time for HR. I don't like it. I don't want to talk about it. It's really quite difficult. I'm here to farm. I got a crop to plant. I have livestock to take care of. The reality is that we have to make time for it as business owners. It's a daily commitment. And I asked Daryl Hanster, who I really felt had a really good handle on what he wanted to get out of not only his whole entire HR plan, but just realizing how important all these different pieces are to the success of his business. And I asked Daryl, how does he make time for human resources on his farm?
Well, it's like anything I've learned. It's a lot of things we choose. So we choose to or we choose not to. We all prioritize things that we think we need to do. And I think with an HR plan, realizing the fact that, hey, our employees are very important to the success of this business, that in itself is enough for me to say, hey, you know what, this is a priority. We need to make this choice and sit down and make sure that, hey, when our employees come to work, that they're getting fulfilled and they come home and they say, hey, today was a good day. And it's important to me. It's important that my employees have a good experience here.
No, I think Daryl really broke that down so simply. It really is about choice. And no matter if you are in British Columbia or in PEI or somewhere in between, you know that you probably need to spend more time on human resources. I really found that, like I said, in recruiting farmers to do this. A lot of us are a little sheepish. If I wanted to ask you about your crop marketing plan, you would have probably joined me. If I wanted to talk about how you get your crop seeded, you would have wanted to talk to me. How do you raise your livestock? You would have wanted to talk to me. Human resources is a whole nother animal, and we're all trying to get better at it so that we can have success, not only as a farm business, but with our whole team a part of the process. So I want to thank everybody who joined me. I want to thank you for listening. You can find more episodes of this podcast at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.